Hey guys, this is Nana here. Before we get into today's episode, we just wanted to let you know that this episode is actually going to be in two parts. The conversation was too good, so we actually have two parts for you. So just a heads up before you dive into it. Hey guys, hope you're all doing well. Welcome to another episode of Afropolitan Central. This is Nana, and I'm here with your favorite co-host, Omolayo, and a special guest.
Hi, everyone. So my name is Chinema. So I'm an international development practitioner, also a marketing communication specialist and photographer. So yeah, I'm really happy to be here. I'm Nigerian American. Hey. Yeah, happy to be here.
We're happy to have you.
We're really excited to have Chinema here because she's kind of like, at least to me, this is Omolayo, everyone. This is our first episode with three people, and we're super excited. I think it's gonna be really cool. Like, you guys have like stayed with us through me and Nana's like, you know, research and opinions about different things, but we thought it's time to give you guys a different perspective. Yes. So today's topic is on music, and so Chinema is kind of like a music guru. She's laughing, but like, at least compared to me personally, I don't know about you, Nana, but compared to me, Chinema is a music guru. So we thought it'd be cool to like get her perspective on like the different trends happening across the African continent. So without further ado, like, let's just jump right into it.
Yeah, so I'm going to just give you like a little overview and highlight of, you know, what you can expect for this episode. So as Omolayo said, it's music. We're really excited about this one. We're going to start by walking down memory lane a bit. So I'm going to take you through kind of like the musical evolution, so to speak, of, you know, the different genres of music that we have in Ghana, how they originated, how they've evolved over the years. And Chinema is going to put the spotlight on the Ivorian music scene, which is really exciting because I know there's lots of Ghana Niger things on this podcast, so we're diversifying today. Once we've done that, we're gonna go through the current music scene, talk about the different things that we've observed, and shout out some of our favorite artists and songs, and then tackle certain topics like, you know, piracy, technology, monetization, the outlook of music careers, etc. So as you can tell, it's going to be a really fun episode. So stay with us through this. So without further ado, I'm going to jump in. So Ghana, my country. So just to preface, probably some of the most popular genres that we have are hip life. Hip life is supposed to be like a combo of high life and hip hop. High life is like the first kind of original sound that we had. I'm going to talk about that. We also obviously have gospel, and then we have lots of like infused sounds. So lots of like dancehall inspired, a bit reggae here, a bit etc. So I think those are more of like the main genres that we have on the scene. So starting with highlife, highlife obviously originated on the continent. One article that I read, for instance, said that it originated in Sierra Leone and Nigeria and Ghana, so kind of like drawing influences from, you know, all these different countries. And it was obviously, you know, the sound that had been, you know, on the continent, or rather on the West African scene. And so highlife is very simple, right? It's mostly very simply composed. You have a couple of guitar rhythms with some percussion instrument and a brass band back in it. So like my grandma, you know, if you tell her there's gonna be a brass band playing some highlife, that is like, you know, gold. Oh my goodness, that is gold to her. So this is like kind of the music that had been kind of bubbling, and so by the 1920s it had a name, and the name highlife, people credits that it actually comes from you know, the kind of high life or high class, you know, elite blah 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 parties that the Europeans would have in Ghana. So it's almost like a reference or an ode to, you know, good times, party, blah 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 blah. So with that, two major types emerged. We had, you know, the ones that were being played at these kind of parties with like a full brass band backing it, a full orchestra, etc. But obviously, you know, not everybody, you know, has time to or the money to enjoy those particular ones. So another one that emerged was the one that was mostly guitar based, that mm-hmm. was, you know, more rural, more local, more indigenous. And that one actually became mainstream by the 50s and kind of stayed. So with the 50s and 60s, High Life got, or actually starting with the 50s, High Life kind of got infused with Western notes. So we had swing and jazz and some Cuban influences even, because we had servicemen, US and UK and XSR servicemen on the continent. So they exposed the local mm-hmm. scene and the local music to these different things, which then, you know, melted and coalesced into High Life that became what stuck essentially. So we had loads of popular like artists on the scenes. We had people like Nanam Pidu. You know, I'll put a track in here that's like, if you're Ghanaian, you have heard this song at some point in time or the other. We have A.B. Quimso, we have the Tempos, etc. And I was actually, you know, reading about how, like, you know, once we got independence, like, this became the post-independent sound. But it also was kind of used as a tool by the government to kind of signify that, oh, we're doing well, this is our identity, everything is good, we're having fun, etc. And English also started to get incorporated in it a bit, because obviously if it's, you know, if it's English, then there's a higher chance of commercial success because other people can, you know, understand what's going on with it and relate, etc. So by the High Life enjoyed its heyday by the 60s. It started to dwindle in popularity a bit because Congolese music really took off on the continent, and Ghana wasn't immune to that. So the kind of faster tempo and music got more popular. So High Life took a slightly back seat. And also by that time, Nkrumah got dethroned. And so there was a bit more political instability. So a lot of the artists left either to other African countries or abroad. And then by the 70s, the more dominant sound had become like a pop, African-American infused sound, actually. So we had,
I think, like, it was like funk and things like that.
Yeah,
like,
I think,
yeah, soul, yeah, so that was blues, coming up more soul, yeah, like that.
Yeah, true. Some more faster tempoed stuff that was more popular. So for instance, they had a Soul to Soul festival that Ike and Tina came to, I think. Yeah. And so from that you can just see like the inference is there. We had like a pop band called Osibisa, which had this sound, this whole Afro pop sound that's very much African American influence, and then that got a lot of success on the international stage. Everybody do what you do, a flower bring a sunshine day. Everybody went towards Germany and the US, etc. And once again, High Life took a bit of a back seat, but I think it became more popular once again because there was a lot of political instability. And so that mm-hmm. became a good instrument for people to protest and express their displeasure with the government and the suffering. Because at that time, we were under military rule and there was famine and etc. So, you know, people were very frustrated. Amalia, I think there's similar inferences with...
Yeah, so on the Nigerian side, I feel like the person who is like the epitome of that, you know, pushing back against the government through music would have been Fela Kuti. So he was really popular in the 70s and 80s, and he was really known for just being like a rebel. And like, the thing is, like, the things he was saying were like the truth, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so he really uses music to like fight back against like the corrupt government and like, you know, people being like sleepless to the things that the government was doing and just like stealing money under everybody's eyes. And so he used his music to like highlight that. Mm-hmm. But people kind of like hyper focused on the fact that he had all these, so he had like backup dancers, his wives, so the Kalakuti queens is what they were called, and so people just like focused on his like drug use and his you know, all his wives, as a way to like discredit him. And so and then also the government also like pursued him so much because he was always like calling them out on their ish, and so they like burnt down his his shrine. He had this thing called an Africa shrine where him and his wives lived. And they burnt that down, like raped his women, things like that. And people used to like ridicule all his women a lot. And, you know, when they went out and about with their business and everything like that. But despite this, like, even though people like, you know, proper quote unquote Nigerians had to pretend that they didn't like Fela because of his like drug use and what he did with women, but they loved his music. So despite the fact that they were like, oh, you know, he's a rebel, blah, blah, blah. They were dancing.
They secretly liked it. I think, like, that's the truth. For me, I'm actually not surprised to hear that because like in Ghana, for instance, in the 80s, gospel music became very popular because apparently, okay, so essentially at that time we were still under military rule. Like we went through it 70s, 80s, man. Loads of like coups and different governments and etc. And there was just general hardship because each ruler came and was just like, I am amassing whatever I can for me and mine. And so because there was so much hardship, a lot of people became more religious and so gospel music became very big. So I can imagine that at that point in time things were more conservative. So if it was anything like Ghana, I can understand why somebody who's like more going against the grain would be like, oh my gosh, who is this person, what are they doing? So
exactly but I mean, hey, he was speaking the truth. And actually, so one of the reasons why I know so much about Fela's like queens was because of this play that I went to that was put on at Terra Culture, which is this like artsy cafe theater place in Lagos. Okay. And so they put on this show that was just like amazing. Yeah. And they had like an amazing cast, amazing band. And the lady who directed it, I met her briefly because like it's a small space, so like you kind of got to meet and greet with the cast as soon as the show was over. And so they just did like a really good job of like highlighting Fela's history, but from the side of the queens who supported him, and they made it very obvious that those queens like really were Fela and Fela was them, you know what I mean? Like they worked in symbiosis together to create the kind of music that we all still really love now. Like, you know, things like Zombie and Chinamé, which one were you saying that you really liked?
Shuffling and Smiling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that one is essentially talking about kind of like how people are and how essentially religion, so whether it's Islam, he focuses primarily on Islam and Christianity, and how those are kind of like used as tools to keep people docile and asleep.
Exactly. So anyways, people did not like him because he spoke the truth, but they loved his music, and that is all. I feel like for me, but there's definitely like a few other really awesome Nigerian artists to know, but I'll talk about them a little bit later when I talk about like my personal upbringing with Nigerian music. I just feel like Fela is like a really good person to mention as we talk about like the progression of Nigerian music.
Okay.
Or music on the continent.
Yeah, that sounds good. So taking you back to Ghana and our timeline. So we're in the 90s now. And in the 90s is when Hip Life emerged. So Hip Life, like I said, is a combination of hip hop and high life. Obviously, I've talked about how like by the 70s, there was so much African-American influence and infusion in terms of our music. And that only grew over the decades. So in the 90s, hip hop was big. And so Hip Life was a way for us to almost put our stamp on hip-hop, because we have the person who pioneered that genre that said, you know, when he came back to Ghana, you know, Biggie, Tupac, everybody was so big on the country, but you know, there were loads of times when we didn't understand what was even being said, because obviously it's in English, so if you're not literate, like, that's a barrier right there, or you couldn't always identify with it, but we were like, this is hot, and we're singing it, so that was a way for us to put our own spin on it, and he actually started rapping in Tree, which is one of our local dialects. Yeah, so it really helped us make that sound our own. Ruffle is like another big rapper from that Time and Sound. And then also along those lines, we also had a lot of reggae and dancehall fusion coming in. And High Life, you know, obviously wasn't the main one anymore, but it was also still doing well. Like Daddy Lumba, for instance, is like one of our most prominent ones. Like, you, if you're a Ghanaian child, you've heard Abin Waha or something at some point in time at some party, etc. And Lumba still gets the crowd going.
I love it. 2000s
is just a continuation of hip life, you know, us continuing to explore it, getting more rappers on the scene, different women coming onto the scene, and that, I know, right? And that just, you know, getting more and more diversified. So that's our music scene, and we're going to talk more about what it looks like now.
Yeah, exactly. So, but before we get into that, I think it'd be kind of cool for us to talk a little bit about like our personal journeys with music and like, or like our traditional, not traditional music, but like music from our locales. So personally for me, Nigeria, things like that. And so we just want to talk a little bit about that and like how we experienced it. And later on Instagram and everything, you guys can tell us about your personal journeys with music, like when you discovered different artists, stuff like that. So for me, I grew up in a like pretty intellectual house. Like, my parents were both educators. My dad was a well-traveled linguist and things like that. So we played like a huge variety of music in our house. And like we talked about last week or during our last episode, growing up in my house was very interesting. We had really interesting rules about when we can't and can't watch TV. So a lot of times it was just like music played in our house because we were supposed to be reading or playing outside. So
yeah.
I grew up with a lot of various musical influences, and so I just remember specifically on Sundays too, like where like TV did like not come on Sundays because we would have really long brunches in the morning on our way to church and stuff. My dad would play a lot of like jazz music and things like that, or classical music, so that's when I got exposed to like Bach and Beethoven and those people. But in the evening and like afternoon evening when we came home, it was always like Nigerian music or like Kofi Olomide and people like that. So my dad was playing like a lot of King Sunny Ade, Ebenezer Obey, you know, Fela of course, and then Kofi Olomide. I feel like those four people were probably on our radio the most, and I could like recognize any of their songs. And so for me, that's kind of like my exposure to Nigerian music, and then Kofi growing up.
Yeah,
and then I didn't really become hip to like what on earth kind of music was coming out of Nigeria until like 2013. Like, I knew it a little bit in 2010 when my family went to visit Nigeria for a bit, and so my cousins kind of gave me a few songs and things like that. But then it was not until I went to like Senegal and like I was friends with Chinemet and things like that, that I became like hip to people like P Square and Yemi Alade and like different people like that. And so now, but now I kind of feel like I didn't do a good enough job of like keeping up with all these different artists, and like my music library is kind of like still stuck in 2014.
Girl, you and me both. You and me both.
So yeah, that's kind of like my musical journey. I definitely want to like work on like being more cognizant of who's who and who's hip and everything like that, because I definitely like love like the music coming out of Nigeria, and I love like various music all around, and I can talk about that like a little bit later, like who my favorite artists are right now, because it's not just like a few non-Nigerian artists that I'm also really into. But Chinemay, you can go next, kind of tell us a little bit about like your personal journey with music and how you became like way more hip than me, at least.
Yeah, so for me, it's actually interesting. So my upbringing in the house, we actually were kind of banned from listening to quote-unquote non-Christian or, like, secular music. So I actually personally didn't really listen to... So I did listen to, like, other, like, American contemporary music, but I didn't really listen to, like, Nigerian songs, I would say, until I got to university. So that was when I got introduced to not only like Afrobeats and even like High Life and different things like that, but then also just like Coupe Décalé, Sukus, Makosa, because I also have friends from like Togo and like Benin and just like other countries as well. But yeah, so I feel like once I heard it, like I fell in love, like I fell hard. And even like I started like doing my own research and finding artists that like, even today, like people like Bez Idakula, like from Nigeria, but I like when nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
So that's like how much like I got into it. So I would say.
Still like, who?
Yeah. Who is this?
I was like, how do I even know who that is?
I'm gonna look them up.
Yeah, exactly. We gotta get as hip as Chinna Man, guys.
This is
the goal of this episode.
Yeah, no. So for me, though, I really liked. I like the fact that a lot of different artists. So number one, like just their love for the country. So for example, I know how you, Nana, were talking about how people would. I don't tweet. I know that I pronounce it terribly, but it's actually like. The fact that, like, you're able to use local languages, artists were able to use local languages to kind of, like, spread their message farther. Yeah. I would say that definitely for Nigerians, that was pretty cool because people were using Pidgin. A lot of it was based in, like, Yoruba. Like, you'll see, like, someone like Olamide or someone like Starboy, and they're, like, literally just, like, in Yoruba. Yes. And whether you're Igbo, whether you're ethnic, no matter what, where you're from, even if you're not even... Even in Senegal, I was living in Dakar, and the people over there talking about some banana fall on you, and I'm just like, do you know what he's talking? Yeah, so it's just one of those things where it's used to empower, it's used to connect within a country and then all across the continent. But yeah, definitely for me, that's when I kind of like learned about or like did my own research and kind of like fell in love with like Peace Square. Though I feel like I've kind of transitioned.
Fallen out of love.
I haven't fallen out of love, but I was able to kind of like see more artists.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of the early people that I really, really liked in terms of Nigerian. Definitely I like went through and like was listening to like a lot of Fela. I really liked some of the things that he was saying, even though him as a person, I mean, he was controversial. And I know for me, Omalai was already talking about some of the things that he said that was interesting in his lifestyle, but he actually like said that HIV was not real. So, I mean, like there were some, so it was, just, there were some things that he said and did, and was just like, Fela, come on,
live or in reality.
And that's how he died. That's what he died from. But he himself was like, no, it's not really a thing. But no, Fela definitely, like, some Igbo, like, traditional songs I thought were pretty cool.
Yeah.
And definitely I think Davido, I mean, his lifestyle, I mean, I don't know. But I would say, though, his music, and I especially love how he kind of decided to go back to basics.
Exactly.
I feel like really started from Aye, so, like, really, like, incorporating that traditional, quote-unquote, sound.
Yeah.
People like Flava, I thought that was really cool. And also, I don't want to just talk about guys, so I know for me, Chidima, even the fact that she's evil, but for her, she actually grew up, I think, in Lagos, so supposedly she can speak Yoruba better than she can speak Igbo, and then also someone like Yemi Alade.
Yeah. I even did like a dance routine to her song. Remember that time that I was in that pageant at, I think, Chapel Hill.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
I did a flag routine to Johnny.
Oh, my God. Johnny Mo.
I'm looking for my Johnny. Obsessed with that song for a long time.
But she's also someone who connects all across the continent. Like, I know she's toured in even like places like France so many times.
Right.
She's gone like, I think, all over. Maybe she's like the female Davido, because you know how he had his 30 billion tour, but he's literally hitting. No, but I think like Davido like went to like every African country. Like, I'm not even playing. Like, he's been going to like all the countries.
Yeah.
Okay, so how about you?
Nana. Yeah, so just comment on Yemi quickly. Like, yeah, she, like, Johnny at least was, like, really, really big in Ghana. So we were, like, digging it, and the video, I think, also just helped it go even further. So for me, I've always, like, obviously because I grew up right in Ghana, like, I've grown up, you know, right with, you know, the local music. And so in my house, we were open to listen to anything. So we listened to gospel, we listened to high life, we listened to hip life, we listened to American music, whatever. It was very open, but you know, I think probably the first artist that I fell in love with was probably Kujonchi. And for my Ghanaians listening to this, you probably know he was very much, you know, he's this guy with these long dreadlocks and he sings like really love songs. And it's High Life, but I think, I guess it's like the modern version of High Life. And y'all, I remember he had a CD that came out. maybe early 2000s. This was the one that had Emrika and other things, and that CD was live. Like, I would take it along with me to places, and it wasn't even mine. Actually, was it a CD or was it a cassette? It was a cassette. It was a cassette, because that was back then. Yeah, it was a cassette.
So way back then.
98.
Way back then. It was a cassette. And I couldn't have been more than 10, but if you saw me in my feelings singing this music, like, you would think.
You would think you were singing right,
right?
To you.
You think I'm singing it to, like, my boyfriend or my husband of, like, 10 years or something, or, you know, I've just suffered the worst heartbreak on earth.
No wonder your dad was watching you, like the way you mentioned in the previous episode.
In the previous one, Lordy. I was just like, too much, but just all in my head there, like nothing extra. So he's obviously somebody that I've always really loved. In recent times, like, somebody that I really like, for instance, is Kwabena Kwabena, and I think it's not surprising because Kwabena Kwabena's style of music is very similar to Kujo and Cheese, so it's almost like he's picked up where he left off. Like a song like Aso, like, that's also such a classic that I feel like almost every Ghanaian knows. In recent times, some of the artists that we've had that I also follow and, you know, may not like them as much or may have problems with them, but their music, I'm almost like, yes. Somebody like Sakodie. So Sakodie is a rapper.
Yes. And he's fine, sorry.
Oh my gosh, he is, isn't he? So Sakodie is like, you know that 2000s rapper Twister? You know, that guy that rapped really fast, just twisted words around his tongue somehow. Sakodie, I think, has a very similar flow. And he raps in tree. And so I think that that just takes it to another level for me, and I'm sure for other Ghanaians. And he's able to just merge, you know, the local sounds, the local dialect over, like, very, you know, heavy hidden beats that just makes it really, really good. And he's enjoyed a lot of international success because I think he got a BT award and some other stuff. And he's been strong ever since he came on the scene. Somebody that's quite recent is, like, Shatawale. He's a very controversial character. Like, my mom is not a fan.
Is he the one with the dreads?
Shatawale, I don't think he has dreads anymore. Maybe he had dreads at some point in time. He's, okay, like, a very, very much like a pothead.
He does reggae, though, right? Like,
oh, I know who you're talking about. That's Samini. Is this Samini? No? Batman? No?
Maybe? That's not who I think of. Oh, sorry, you go ahead and continue.
Go ahead. I'll play you a Samini song and we'll see, but I think it's probably Samini because I'm not sure Shatawale has had dreads, but I'm looking. Oh, he has tiny dreads!
But he does do reggae, though, right?
It's very dancehall influenced, blah, blah, blah. Yep.
So I think Mr. Easy recently, like, either, like, he mocked him or he did something, like, shouted him out. Yeah,
he is very controversial. Like, I think recently my mom was telling me about how he was, like, dissing Davido and some other artists. I don't know. So he, as a person, Lord knows what's going on with him. The music bangs. So we'll just
based on all of these, I feel like we could have, like, a whole nother episode about, like, artists that we, you know, we like, but, like, their personal story is controversial.
Like, we love their, like, music, but not them.
Yeah, very much a classic
theme here.
Yeah,
but maybe some of the territory, or maybe you need to be this high strong to put out the music.
Maybe that's how the creative juices flow.
Yeah.
And then one person that I really wanted to highlight is Ebony. So Ebony, she came onto the scene, I think maybe 2016, 2015, but I really only heard of her last year. But she had songs that she released in 2015. And at the time, I think she was like 17, 18. But she unfortunately passed away earlier this year.
She was really young.
She was really young and she was so talented, you guys. So, car accident.
Oh my God,
I heard about that.
I know, yeah. But she was like amazing because she did like dancehall music, she did local music, she rapped, she sang.
Dang.
She's very versatile. Yeah, there was a lot of controversy around her because she was very much like a free spirit. Like, I'm going to dress how I want to dress. If the titties are hanging out today, they're hanging out. And of course, the local.
That's girl.
Yeah, they were just like, nope, 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 nope. So there was always.
I can imagine, yeah, like in Ghanaian society, yeah. People would be like,
yeah. Who is this girl? So there was always lots of back and forth, but I think that she also just made music that resonated with people. Like, one of her songs that's really popular, maybe one of the most popular ones, and definitely the first one I heard was called Sponsor. To highlight Ebony, because she was one person that was really pushing the envelope, making music about, you know, different relatable topics, and being just a beacon for, and she was also very different in the sense that she actually dropped out of school to pursue music, and I think we're going to talk a bit later on about, you know, how we perceive music as a career,
right.
And so that was also definitely showing a different side of, you know, perhaps there is something to be gained and maybe there is some success that can come from it, etc. So yeah, that's what our scene looks like in a nutshell.
Awesome. I can go back to talking about like a few of my favorite artists real quick because I feel like I didn't really get to finish up what I was saying when I was talking about my journey. Yeah. So like I mentioned a little bit earlier, there are some non-Nigerian artists that I'm really, really into. So for example, I actually forgot to mention that one of the other artists that my dad used to play a lot was Youssou N'Dour. So he's a Senegalese artist who's like really, really popular. I know one song that most people might know is 7 Seconds because he did it with like an American singer. So that song was really popular. So I used to listen to that a lot, listen to that artist before a lot when I was growing up, and now today I feel like there's a few Senegalese songs and artists that I really like, even though I might not know their name. I think this is my issue. There's like a lot of songs I like, but I don't know the artist's name. Another person that I really like is Eddie Kenzo, who sings that really popular song, Jealousy. Yeah, exactly. I think he's really, really good. And then another non-Nigerian artist that I really like, and this one is a group, but I hope I'm not butchering this, but basically their name is Mafi Kizolo, and so they've done a song with Davido, Techalete. And then they've also done a song with Yemi, and then they have their own songs that are also like really, really good. They just have like a really interesting and different sound.
Yeah. I think we're going to just transition the conversation into just talking about some of the trends and just some of the different observations that we've had.